Hello, everybody, and welcome along to Silverstone. It is the fourth round of the World Endurance Championship this weekend. And this is John Hindhoff coming to you live from, well, nearly the start-finish line here at Silverstone. And joining us around the circuit on 87.7 FM. So we've got a full day of excitement for you. Rather interested to find out what the situation is going to be with this first session of collective practice, as it's being termed, for the Renault 3.5. Very busy day coming up around, just waiting for Johnny Palmer to join us in the commentary box. Nick Damon is with me at the moment, and Nick, good morning and welcome along, good to have your company. Paul Truswell is heading off down to Beckett. He gives me the thumbs up to say that that is about to happen, so we'll hear Paul's dulcet tones shortly. We are blessed with good weather, Nick, for the first part of this morning,
and the forecast is it's good till 3 o'clock, which means we can at least have one dry session for the WEC, second session not going out till 4 o'clock. But given that the I was here on Monday, John, amidst grey skies.
I was here Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
I was on the track because I was doing a track day at the International Circuit. But it was interesting because the weather forecast was dry and then raining at 3 o'clock. And actually, it was horribly damp but not raining all morning. Then it dried up, so they got it completely wrong.
Okay.
But it is looking nice. It's looking slightly cloudy than a few minutes ago, but I think we're going to get a clear morning. And anyway, it's Britain. There should be rain.
Johnny Palmer is about to join us as well. He's good for all things Renault, he said, hopefully, with a cup of coffee in hand. We're going to dispatch Nick to the pit lane later. No point in him going there now because the Renaults are running from the old pits. And he can't run that far, and neither does the circuit radio mic, in fact, go that far. You're listening to Radio Le Mans on Radio Silverstone.
Here, the World Endurance Championship, when you want it. Every moment of the season is waiting for you at www.radiolemans.com, the home of endurance racing.
Johnny Palmer, good morning and welcome along to the booth. What can you tell us about Formula Renault 3.5?
Hello, John. I can tell you all sorts of things. I can tell you that it's very, very close at the top of the table. Robert Freins has had several wins so far this year, but Sam Bird, the young Brit, is second in the championship and is eager to get a couple of wins at his home race this weekend. Obviously, Formula Renault 3.5 usually part of the Renault World Series weekend, but they're having a weekend away from that usual package to join the FIA World Endurance Championship for a one-off weekend.
For a full archive.
Very much looking forward to it because it's always tightly packed. It's always very competitive. Exactly the same cars, the Lara chassis, Zytec engines, and all down to driver talent. Very much similar to GP2 as well. It's not necessarily about the kit that you've got because everyone's got the same sort of thing, so all down to the guy behind the wheel. And I understand this session that is about to start is purely a kind of open test session rather than it's not builder's practice, so this will be an opportunity to get a feel for who's going to be quick, who might need to find some time over the next couple of days. There's going to be one race tomorrow and one race on Sunday, and two qualifying sessions, independent qualifying sessions, one for each race.
And we should point out, for those of you at the circuit, this is coming out of the national pits, so we are positioned over the international pits, and there's a green flag waving over the start-finish line. When Paul gets down to the box at Beckett's, we'll hear him shout up and tell us when this car's on the track. The slight problem that we have here, Johnny, is because this is a collective test session, it may not be necessarily the normal drivers for the teams.
I see. Okay. I thought it was all going to go very, very simply well. Well, but obviously not. Okay,
I'm guessing because this is effectively an open test session outside the bounds of what would normally be termed a race weekend.
Yes.
Then basically anybody who's put their Euros down could be in the car.
Oh, so there's one.
And it's gone again. Is that the sum total of your...
No, I like to ease myself into a commentary weekend.
That may be the best piece of commentary ever. There's one, now it's gone.
It's been a little while since I've done this, so give me time.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being with us today. Have a safe journey home. Bye-bye. Oh, tell us a little bit about... I mean, Renault 3.5 has been around for a while, and it is... firmly established now, isn't it, on the staircase of talent, or as we call it on Midweek Motorsport, the suitcase of talent, in terms of how much money you have to bring year on year. It has quite rapidly from its inception got itself into a situation whereby it's almost a must do for young drivers on the way up through these. Are big, powerful, noisy, very noisy, very exciting looking and sounding cars.
Very much so, yes. As I said, very similar to GP2. I don't know whether it's necessary to do both on the climb up to the hallowed ground of Formula 1, or whether you just need to do one or the other, but it's been in existence for a long time now, but since 1998, when it was World Series by Nissan, and changed in 2004 to the Renault name, although the power plant has, I think, remained Nissan for the most part. It's now Zytec.
Yeah. Zytec are a technical partner of Nissan for things like, we'll see, the P2 engines later on. Yeah. Zytec have involvement there as well.
Yeah. Eighth season. Obviously, it's Renault supported, and that's where the name comes in.
Yeah. Well, it's part of their driver development, isn't it, effectively?
Yeah.
Because there was a time when you could come through driving pretty much nothing other than Renault. There's no Formula 2 litre in the UK now, which used to support the touring cars, but that unfortunately has disappeared, although there's still a BARC.
There is, and it's very well
series.
I was commentating on that last weekend at Donington, and they had 27 cars, and
wow.
Yeah, I mean that's very nearly being oversubscribed, and they do hope. I was chatting to one or two of the organisers and some of the press people as well, and if they can get a TV package to follow that round, they reckon they could be capacity grids, you know, throughout the season.
Because that used to be a feeder series to the Formula Renault series that was on the touring car package, effectively.
That's right.
The same chassis or slightly older chassis, the same engine but slightly detuned, so you mm-hmm. could work your way up and use the same equipment if you wanted to go into the bigger series. Unfortunately, that bigger series, as I say, has disappeared.
They switched to the Barazzi Epsilon chassis.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people got on with that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, supply problems or you know.
So is the National series still using
the Tatus chassis, which everyone seems to be, you know, nose inside out. I think it's been in the category since the year 2000, and you know, everyone gets on with that. And clearly, Tatis are supplying parts readily enough and providing able support as well. So there's some hot shoes in that will be worth watching, definitely. Seb Morris is in that now, who won Ginetta Juniors last year and has sort of gone for
an interesting career progression, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I think he's got a bit of money behind him. But that's a kind of a year he himself admits to kind of get used to single-seater racing, and he wants to go and try and go for the championship next year. And then maybe jettison himself into Formula 3. So there is definitely a path that you can take, and it's a great first step into single-seaters. This category has a new chassis for this year, the Dallara T12, featuring a 530 brake horsepower V8 engine, as I said, supplied by British firm Zytec.
So is that a 3.4 then? Is that the 3.4 engine? Or some derivation of it?
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've got one of Guy Smith's old engines as a table at home, as you well know.
Oh yes, you have. As a stand.
Yeah, as a stand for a table. The 1,000-kilometer Nürburgring-winning engine from a few years ago. I mean, this sound great. There's nothing better than hearing the tortured sound of a V8. We're in the commentary box here, just after the start of the finish line here, on the new part of the circuit down at the wing, and you can probably just about hear them zinging past, and it's a very, very distinctive sound that the Zytec V8 make. We've got some times on the circuit. It was is that Sam Bird who's in there, yeah, in the five car? Sam Bird, who came up through that Renault series we were talking about.
He did.
I commentated on him a few years ago.
I remember him breaking his kneecap at Donington. Oh. He turned left at Hollywood and straight into the wall. He has recovered from that, thank you.
Yeah. And is that Jake Rosenzweig as well? He was a Formula BMW. Yes. W graduate as well from a few years ago, so I'm recognising some of the names there. Sam Bird was the early pace setter, but has been usurped by now that's Jan Magnussen's son,
Kevin.
Isn't it? Kevin.
It is.
The very Scandinavianly named Kevin Magnussen, which makes me, and I'm sure Jan, feel very, very old indeed. He's come up through Formula Ford, amongst other things, and he had a couple of good runs at the festival in previous years.
Yes.
And is this his first year in this, Johnny? Is it? Do you know? He must be, because he's got an R next to him. What does that mean? Rookie?
Rookie, correct.
Yeah.
Yes,
so there
is.
You go. That was all I had to do was look at the timing screen.
He did British Formula 3 last year, German Formula 3 the previous year, and he has done 2 litre Formula Renault as well, like you say.
Yeah.
Some Danish Formula Ford racing as well, back in his homeland.
Yeah, and a chip off the old block, it would appear. Jan, of course, still doing great things for the Corvette team in the American Le Mans series. Last weekend was with him at Road America, where he got spun around on the very final corner of the last lap by the ESM Ferrari and lost a podium place there, so he wasn't very happy. Actually, I'm not sure if Jan's here this weekend. We'll try and get him in the booth if he is. So this session then, with still just over 50 minutes to go, 1:44.864 for Kevin Magnussen, 45.3 for Sam Bird, and those two at the moment the fastest two. We've had 13 cars out. Track temperature at the moment is rather balmy for this early in the morning, 16.1 degrees, and the air temperature just a little under that, about 15 degrees, as it was this morning as I came in the mighty Pathfinder. It was hovering around the 14 or 15 degrees mark. It's been, for those of you listening away from the track on the World Wide Web at RadioLeMans.com, it's been, even for the summer, unseasonably warm particularly overnight around this part of the British Isles recently. And I can say that with some degree of confidence, as I'm only about 30 miles away, 37 miles away, I think it was, door-to-door this morning, as the Pathfinder flew. And that it's been a bit sticky, so the overnight temperatures haven't been falling down too much at all, which means that track temperature has stayed in the 15-16 degree area. It is a tad overcast this morning. It was sunny, but it was sunny at 7 when we came in, down just after 9. It's just clouded over a little bit, but it's still very, very pleasant indeed. And I hear a noise from Beckett, which would suggest that Paul Truswell may be installed.
Yes, not quite installed yet, John, but I am here.
Excellent.
And I'm just kind of getting my bearing, really, and trying to work out what's what and where everything is.
Well, you need to have the neck muscles of an owl where you are, because you can actually see both sides of the new configuration of the circuit, can't you?
That's right. I mean, if you imagine the new Silverstone Grand Prix circuit as being like a figure eight, but with the crossover just avoided, then I'm in the crossover, which means that you have cars coming straight at you from two different directions and going away from you in two different directions, which makes it for a very entertaining view. And we've also, I see, which has changed since last year, we've now got a picnic bench here.
Oh, nice.
Downstairs. So if I disappear at some point, it's because I've gone out to have a picnic. We've also got very cooperative marshals down here checking people's passes. And in fact, they're now going down to the picnic bench. It's obviously tea break time, change of shift. But no, a great view, and one of the beauties of the Silverstone Grand Prix circuit is, you know, if you're planning to come here, you haven't been here for the new configuration, is you can walk around the entire circuit, not just only on the outside, but also on the inside. So over the course of a six-hour race, you know, you could walk around the 3 miles of the outside of the circuit, but you can also walk around the inside of the circuit as well. And if you want to see racing cars at lots of different angles, at lots of different speeds, then it's a great thing to do, and it's tremendous, because one of the things that always astonishes me is the braking of modern cars, whether they're single seaters or of sports cars. But by on a day like today, when there's not very many people about, you can kind of watch the cars, I don't know, just going into the corner and think, oh yeah, they're going nice and slowly through the corner, but just walk 30-40 meters back up the straight and see how fast they're going, and that gives you an impression of just how great the braking capabilities of modern racing cars are.
Now, some of the cars, for some reason, and maybe Johnny can enlighten me on this, because I don't know, have been held until a quarter past nine. 8, 12, 24, 27 are only allowed to start at 9:15 in this session. I have no idea why that would necessarily be the case. This actually, having Paul in the box over at Beckett's there, means we do get a little more ambient noise, and those Zytec V8s do sound very, very good indeed. It's still Magnussen's 142.6 now, which is the fastest time from in second place.
Can I just tell you, John, Alan McNish has just arrived.
Has he?
Well, the other thing I can do is I can see everybody coming in into the circuit because they have to come past my box. And Alan McNish, I'm pleased to say, is in an S4. Very good choice of car.
Would that be the Trustwell seal of approval there?
I think the only difference is that I paid my own money for my S4. And I suspect it's part of Alan's deal, especially as his is a 61 reg.
I would think that will be a loaner from the UK rather than his own. I would think his would be registered in a different country. And I actually think he's actually got an S5.
Has he?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's arrived at the circuit this morning driving an S4.
Will Stevens for a moment up into second, but now he's been dropped down. It's Magnussen, Müller and Huertas, the top three at the moment, within a second and a half of each other. Johnny Palmer alongside me to the right in our commentary box here. And we've had 22 of how many cars are we expecting to see, Johnny, today?
There should be 26.
Right.
13 teams. And one or two brand new drivers for the championship this year as well. Nikhil Melka, who's the Dutchman, is the new recruit at Lotus, joining Marco Sorensen. Sorensen's been the more successful driver and also has been with them all season. And also there is a new driver for BVM Target Team, Daniel Zampieri, joining the championship for this round. But otherwise, it's kind of as you were for the last time out, which was in Moscow, Raceway.
And that was actually a bit of a success, was it not?
I think so, yeah.
The circuit looked fabulous. I know that there were some problems with the infrastructure, notably having power all of the time.
Okay.
But the actual layout of the track, I think, was conducive to good racing. And certainly from the pictures that I saw, good racing did ensue.
No, I think generally the feedback was positive, and there are obviously more high profile championships to go there in the future as well, but that was the guinea pig test, I suppose, and it seems to have gone pretty much well across the board, I would say.
So far, no whoopsies as far as anyone falling off the circuit, unless Paul Trustwell at Beckett's can tell us otherwise.
I'm certainly not going to tell you otherwise, although for the moment I'm focusing on the inside of the box because I'm trying to set up various electronic equipment as well at the same time as looking outside of the box.
I will allow you to do that. Carry
Thank
on.
You,
so you're listening to Radio Silverstone 87.7 FM, Radio Le Mans providing... RadioLeMond.com providing you with the production this weekend of the World Endurance Championship, the FIA World Endurance Championship here at Silverstone, bringing the spirit of Le Mans to the centre of the British Isles. And we're in practice at the moment Collective test one. 15 minutes gone for the Formula Renault 3.5s. John Hindhoff, Johnny Palmer and Paul Truswell on duty at this early hour. And the guys getting down to business pretty quickly. There are a lot of names here, Johnny, that I recognise. That Robert Fringe in the four car.
Robin,
that's right. That's another
Frines,
one. Frines, yes. Another car that's another driver who's come up through the ranks of British single seaters. Now, which peak is that in the 20th? Is that younger brother of? Or no relation to?
Of Charles, yes. Yeah.
It's younger brother, isn't it? Sam Bird still sitting in 7th at the moment. Will Stevens in 5th. Kevin Magnussen's 1:42.6, still the fastest time. He's got about 0.6 of a second on 2nd place at the moment. As that's another name that I recognise. The number 9 in 15th place at the moment, the 46.2, is Grussmüller. Moving up there. So the top 22. Rosenweg also having come through junior Formula here in the UK.
Yeah, Walter Grussmüller. So Grussmüller currently 16th behind one of the Swiss drivers. There are two Swiss pilots in this championship. Zuhl Amberg is in 15th position. André Negrau just posting a quick lap. That puts him up to 16th position. A couple of Brazilians in this, the other one being Lucas Foresti, who has made the step from British Formula 3 fairly recently. But the fastest time is still Kevin Magnussen after six laps with his 1:42.610. Nico Müller, who has slowly improved through the season. Both of those drivers at the top of the table are rookies. Nico Müller has, I'm sure, started from a decent grid position in Germany. Excuse me, at Nürburgring. Where is Nico in the championship? He's 8th position. Managed to 2nd. Yeah, Nürburgring. I thought that was a decent round for him. 2nd position in Germany, but otherwise hasn't been on the podium. But, I mean, some of these drivers are in Formula Renault for a second year and obviously eyeing the title. Others are in, you know, just accustomizing themselves to an engine that is insanely powerful. Yeah. And obviously the downforce that these...
Is it considered a two-year formula still?
I would say so, yes. Yeah, because only because that seems to be how long people take to kind of get used to it, and then, you know, the experience they've gleaned from that one season they can really then put in from the opening round of the following year.
Alexander Rossi, the American, has not had a great season, a couple of retirements, but he set this set the American press chattering, at least the specialist press, last year with some good results in this formula. You might recognise some of the other names as well. Jake Rosenweg, as I said, he's another American who's come through the British ranks, but he's had an awful season so far with 4 retirements. And Carlos Huertas, that's another driver who I've commentated on before, coming through the British ranks again with 4 retirements. Problem is, Johnny, with this is, in this championship, you really can't afford not to score, because we've seen in the past how close these title races have been in Formula Renault 3.5.
Yes. Well, you look at the two guys at the top of the table, Robin Frines and Sam Bird, 1 retirement each. And Jules Bianchi, who has finished every race but was disqualified for the first one at Motorland Aragon. But that's how you consistently score points. They've certainly not been on the podium every single race. A couple of 17th positions in there, and 9th and 5th, but at least they're always finishing and are 8 times out of 10 always in the points, which is what you need to do. Interested to see Nick Yellerly go this weekend as well, because he's had a couple of wins this year. He's 5th in the championship race at the moment. Probably, well, got some work to do if he wants to win it, but there are 8 races still to go. 2 this weekend, 1 tomorrow, 1 Sunday. Then they head to Hungaroring, Paul Ricard, and then Circuit de Catalunya to finish the season. So starts and ends in Spain. And they've already been to Monaco for a one-off race support round to the Formula One Grand Prix there.
A double round at Spa, Francorchamps, and also Nürburgring, as I say, that was the round previous to Russia. So jam-packed season, and it does mean quite a bit of travelling for these youngsters, but it also gives you a lot of experience on Grand Prix circuits as well. So that will be key, you know, if they ever do get to that hallowed ground.
But all of these international formulae, you know, they have to, I mean, even British Formula 3 has for a number of years deliberately gone outside of the UK to make themselves attractive to career drivers, to give them international circuits, to be able to have experience of international circuits, albeit in far less powerful cars than we've got here. It's so important to the development of drivers to be able to get out on the tracks that they are likely to race on in their coming career, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, there are plenty of circuits that Formula One drivers this year will be going to for the first time, and it's a total level playing field. But there is nothing that is better than some experience around a Grand Prix circuit, so that you are not starting from square one at the start of the weekend. You might be, in terms of data, perhaps, because rookies to that too, Formula One, obviously, will take a bit of time to get used to the car. But at least you know which corner's coming up next, whether it's going to go left or right, and that is key. So
that is pretty basic, actually. But
but
you can do so much on sims nowadays. But
you can. I mean, obviously there were a lot of people ahead of that European Le Mans Series race at Donington. They hadn't been to Donington Park before, and plenty of drivers went on the sim for that. But it can only go so far. I mean, you know, I'm not a race driver, but I would imagine a sim, you know, will tell you where the track goes. But there's no substitute for actually getting in the car and feeling the G's and knowing, you know, where to apply the power, because it doesn't really illustrate grip too much, I would imagine. It tells you, you know, the first corner is Redgate at Donington, and then it'll graphically describe the crane of curves. But to actually feel what it's like to go down there and exactly where to brake cannot be represented until you actually step into the machine.
So 36 and a half, nearly 37 minutes still to go. 26 cars, which Johnny Palmer here in the booth says is the field, have set off from the national pits and have at least done one lap. In fact, have done more than that. The least I can see is seven, I think, completed laps. Oh no, there's a five by the 24 of Yellow Leap, and that might be the fewest laps completed so far. There's a four there as well from Alessian. We've talked about the drivers, Johnny. What about the teams? There's some very well-known names in single-seaters that are represented here. And again, for our international audience, perhaps not quite as well-known, but certainly for the British aficionados who are around the circuit today listening on 87.7 or on the PA, you'll recognise some of these names.
Oh, very much so. Carlin Motorsport are in there, Fortec Motorsport, so you've got Trevor Carlin and Richard Dutton heading those organisations respectively. Comtech Racing are there, running Nick Yellerly and his teammate Vittorio Girelli, and Arden Caterham as well, which is the guy from Red Bull whose name escapes me. Who's that? Lives in Leamington.
Christian Horner's
team,
yes.
Isn't it? Yes.
Thank you, Tim. Our executive producer, Tim Gray, down in London.
Shouting in our ears.
Yes. It's not often you get to be on the PA at Silverstone, Tim, so is there anything that you'd like to say that is broadcastable?
Good decision. So, yeah, those are the four British teams, Carlin, Fortec, Comtech and Arden Caterham. But
you've also got people in there like Dams, who have been involved in single. I mean, I think of Dams because of my sports car background as, you know, a sports car team, but actually for years and years and decades, in fact, they have been involved in single seaters, not only in their home territory of France, but throughout Europe, and, you know, European F3, various European single make series, and also into some of the international series as well. They are a force in single seat racing, as Carlin or Fortec or any of the others that you might talk about. been around. I mean, they were back in the Formula 3000 days, weren't they? They were around.
That's right. Yeah. That's where I remember seeing them at first of all. I think Formula 3000 and
Jean-Paul Driot, the man at the top of that equipe.
Ran people like Olivier Panis and Jean-Christophe Bouillon as well in the 1994. So in 1988 they were founded. So terrific history in not only single seater racing but also, as you say, sports cars as well. I presume they have a team in GP2 series as well. That
they certainly have had in the past.
Yes, they have. Yeah, David Valsecchi and Felipe Nasr they're running at the moment. GP2,
both very very capable drivers.
Yes, Felipe Nasr, current British Formula 3 champion. So they've got a couple of good signings there that are going well, I think, in the championship at the moment. Oh, an entry list, fantastic, thank you Nick.
Yes, we have just been given the World Series by runner entry list, and before all that, Johnny was doing that from memory, completely.
I'm not reading this, I promise you.
Paul Truswell is another one of our RadioLeMond.com voices on Radio Silverstone this weekend, and he's down at Beckett's. Good morning again, Paul.
Good morning. Sorry, I just had to clear my throat before I spoke. So I think I'm sort of two-thirds of the way to setting up here. I'm gradually doing a little shopping list of things that I don't have that I need.
There's more equipment there than on the Mars rover. What's going on?
There is. No, it's the old-fashioned things like gaffer tape and what do you call them? Those little extension blocks so you can make two sockets where you
make one.
Oh,
yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
And because, as you say, I've got so much equipment here, and it all needs power.
You're going to have to pedal a bit harder than Paul, clearly.
Exactly. I have to say, most of these Formula Renault 3.5s behaving themselves very well indeed. The most spectacular area to watch is on the braking area coming into Village, where quite a lot of the drivers end up locking wheels, and as I say, don't actually have a moment. They just have a big plume of smoke coming up from the back of or from the tyre, usually a front tyre, as they snatch the brake and it locks up as they turn into the right hand entrance into this little complex, which is Village Corner. Then they turn just about 180 degrees through the loop, and then really before the loop has finished looping, but before it gets out onto the Wellington Straight, there's another right-hander which has another name called Aintree Corner. So it's Village, the loop and Aintree, and then you go out onto the Wellington Straight, and from this point I then see them go underneath the bridge, and if anybody's going to overtake going into Brooklands, I can just about see it, although I can only then tell what happened when the yellow flag emerges or doesn't emerge, as the case may be. But as I say, most of them behaving themselves very well indeed. They're getting themselves nicely spaced out as well, which I hope isn't a foretaste of the way that the race will pan out. Rather than practicing overtaking moves, they tend to be giving themselves a bit of a gap between themselves and the car in front, so they can then try and do a time. It's an impressive place to watch from. At the moment, the overcast sky that you were describing, John, is breaking up a little bit, hints of blue sky to be seen, although from what I saw of the weather forecast, this is probably the best that the weather is going to be over the weekend, or at least over today, because apparently there are showers forecast for this afternoon, when they're going to just get worse. But hopefully that weather forecast was wrong.
A lot of rain tomorrow, I saw on the forecast, Paul, but pretty much a dry day Sunday, I think. And then the rain moves in again for Monday, typically for a bank holiday.
I don't care. I've got a roof over my head. It's going to be Nick Damon who's getting wet.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't matter, does it? But as far as the World Endurance Championship cars are concerned, they may have to qualify in the rain and then race in the dry, so the times may not be representative of possibly, you know, how they're going to go in the race, perhaps.
We do have one car going past me rather slowly, which is the number 15, which your entry list will tell you, Johnny, is...
which is behind me, but number 15 is Daniel Zampieri, who is new for this weekend, not raced with BVM Target earlier on in the season, but been brought in for this round. Okay, and already problems by the sounds of things.
Not quite sure if he's got a problem or if he's just dialing himself in. He seemed to be very slow coming into Village, but then didn't seem intent on getting back on it again. So the car continuing to travel slowly as it went down the Wellington Straight. But as I say, it may just be that he's dialing himself in and getting warmed up to the task. Yes, in fact, as I wait for him to come past me on the other side through the Beckett's S's, he's now fully up to speed. Zampieri in the number 15 silver and red car and is now heading down Hanger Straight, at which point he'll then turn right through Stowe Corner and then through the Vale, and then the left-handed part of Club Corner, and then the right-handed part of Club Corner, and then past you, Johnny. I think I've probably done that a bit too quickly, so in about 15 seconds' time, he'll be coming past to complete the lap, but it will be a slow lap, as I say, with some dialing in going on, I fancy.
Okay. So these cars will start from the wing tomorrow and Sunday, presumably, John?
Yes, he said tentatively.
I mean, are they being timed from here and back to here again?
Yes, they are.
Yes, exactly. The timing is across the start finish line, obviously, and they will use the pit lane if they need to do any pit stop during the race, but they are merely being garaged in the old pits. So they called the national pits.
They are called the national pits, I believe. Yes, that's right. Certainly what I've been calling it, and I probably wouldn't have come up with that myself. Okay. Which means I've almost certainly heard someone else say it. What I'm reliably informed as well is that their podium ceremonies will be up there, which is great for those. Means they're going to be by their own paddock area, but it means that we won't be able to hear them down here, as there's no link.
It'll be a heck of a run for Nick, won't it?
Well, it's a very long piece of wire that we're running out at the moment. Well, a lot of Cat 5.
I have to say, the wires that come this far are working very nicely, although...
That's because it's fibre now. You see, it's fantastic. I said yesterday, Mark from 360 Events and I were here on Wednesday. In fact, I was here on Tuesday, but we were here on Wednesday. Paul from BT, who put our ISDN line and our internet in, and your internet in as well, Paul. And then Mark, as ever, running around like mad in the pickup truck. And I was just mentioning how it doesn't seem so long ago that we were on the old-fashioned, what used to be called, 100-volt line, which was effectively two twisted pieces of wire with a transformer on the end of it, and it sounded exactly like you might imagine with a system that had electricity running through it. It sounded like you were on a telephone from a very long way away, and in fact you were virtually within eyes of sight. In fact, the first few years we did Brit Car 24 here, it was still the old system, but it's been for a couple of years now, all fibre optic, and so you are coming in loud and clear. Speaking of Brit Car 24, we will be RadioLeMond.com back to Silverstone later on in the year for the Brit Car 24. We've done it a few years ago. I think we did two or three in a row. Missed a couple of years. Back this year.
I maintained the consistency in your absence, John.
You did, yes.
We're doing a bit of moonlighting for the Brit Car 24.
And a very, very good entry already for this year. Just talking to a few people in the paddock yesterday. Amazing how many real pro drivers want to do that event, because particularly if they are Brits, it's an opportunity to do a 24-hour race in your own country, which is... It's not always been the case in the UK.
Is that one of those weekends that I have to keep free then, John?
I would say so, yes. You may have to speak to the responsible adult when she arrives at brunch time today. I should be able to see her drive into the circuit, I think. Keep my eyes peeled. I do notice as well that Toyota Motor Group are entering a new GT86, one of the new GT4 Clubman's cars, which has been... eagerly awaited as the spiritual successor to the old Toyota Corolla AE86, and that is going to be here, so that's very exciting, along with all the other bits and pieces that normally arrive. That's a little bit later on in the year.
I'm told that Anthony Davidson's going to be doing some laps in that sometime this weekend as well.
Well, they've just completed a 24-hour Fast and Frugal drive. They came in just after midday yesterday, and they've been driving around the country in a variety of hybrid machinery to key in with the Toyota TSO30 here as a hybrid machine this weekend for the first time in the UK. And Scott Brownlee and the guys from Toyota Motors GB doing that drive and coming in yesterday. Anthony was a part of that as well. We're trying to get Ant in at some stage and have a chat with him. Obviously, if you weren't aware, he had that nasty accident with Pier Giuseppe Peruzzini at Le Mans and still recovering from that. Glad to say that he is up and around and walking. He's been back home for quite some time.
He's had the opportunity to spend over an hour with him on Monday evening, John, in a feature that will be forthcoming in on dailysportscar.com. But no, he's in top form. I mean, he's raring to go and itching to get back into a proper racing car. And is, before he gets into a proper racing car, going to get into a simulator, because of course they can tweak the simulator so that it doesn't shake him around at all.
Yes.
If they want to have it so that it doesn't shake him around at all, and I think that's the idea, is they'll put him in it with no shaking, and then like a lot of those games, they kind of just increase it until he says, right, that's enough. But all part of his rehabilitation, which thanks to extensive physio has gone very well.
Do we know how Guillaume Moreau got on after his nasty accident at Le Mans, by the way?
No, I haven't had any information at all on that.
He wasn't making as quick a progress as Anthony, for sure.
No. I'm sure there are people around in the press office who know. David Lagagne springs to mind, who
will
be somebody
point.
Who will know. So I will try and catch up with him and bring you up to date with that before the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I had somebody tweet at Specutainment, or at Radio Le Mans, by the way. Are you still Black Pearl Johnny, or have you actually switched to Cabana Boy now?
I haven't yet, but there might be a dual account before the end of the weekend.
If you want to get in touch with us, at Radio Le Mans, he's probably the best one. The responsible adult is looking after that this week. And yeah, I had a tweet about Guillaume's condition, and all I knew was what we were told before Le Mans, that he was in hospital and they were looking after him pretty well. The week after Le Mans, I think, Paul, we got a press release from the team saying that it was a slow process. And I haven't really heard very much since, so that's something we should chase up on.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
So, what we got left? 21 minutes to go. And for the first time in the session, it's not Kevin Magnussen at the top of the times, Johnny.
No, Jules Bianchi, who has certainly had a good season up until now. He isn't leading the championship, but I think he is third. Let me just scan to the relevant page. Yeah, third coming into this round on 85 points. Sam Bird and Robert Freins above him in the table. Sam's got 101 points and Robert Freins 111 points, but Jules Bianchi has won one race at Nürburgring, and he's had three second places, one of those coming last time out in Russia at the Moscow Raceway, but also he got second place at Monaco and second place at Spa as well. It's 25 points for a win, incidentally, so there are 50 points on offer for this weekend, and the points go all the way down to 10th position. But Jules Bianchi, who, and John, you may be able to tell me more about relatives, or indeed Paul, relatives of Jules, because his great uncle is Lucien Bianchi, or was Lucien Bianchi rather, who I've been reading a little bit about.
We've just been attacked by a long... Nick Leventis just going through behind us as well. It's the WEC drivers meeting, and they're all coming round behind us. Hello, yes, well done. He got the right one for a change. This is a who's who of going through. I did try to kidnap Warren Hughes so that he would get fined €1,000, which would have hurt him a lot. Tracy Crone just going through behind us there. And Nico Prost. Alan McNish being as distasteful as ever towards Nick Damon, who's standing behind us. What's a good time around here? There's a question for the...
I don't know. I mean, that time has stood for a little while now. What did you say, Nick? Were they here last year? They were. Okay, I can probably find a good time.
They had a Renault here last year, for sure.
Lucien Bianchi. I don't know a lot about him, but killed at Circuit de la Sarthe, and he's the great uncle of Jules Bianchi. But from the little bit that I've read about him,
he was better known as a rally driver, though, surely, wasn't he? Or am I getting the wrong Bianchi?
No, you're getting the wrong Bianchi. Lucien Bianchi was a Ferrari, works Ferrari driver in both Formula One and the World Sports Car Championship.
Right.
Biggest victories coming in 1968 when he won the 24 Hours behind the wheel of a Ford GT40 with Pedro Rodriguez, and at Sebring in 62 with Joe Bonnier.
He did the London to Sydney marathon, and he did do a bit of rallying. There was a Bianchi who did some rallying, Matt Griffin just behind us. 69 is a bit before me, Le Mans.
Okay, fair enough. Mauro Bianchi is his grandfather. I don't know whether he's the rally driver. Anyway.
Mauro Bianchi also did Le Mans. I seem to remember. Lucien did it 13 times in the end.
Really? Wow.
And Mauro was Lucien's father. No. Lucien's
uncle.
Hang on.
Sorry, okay. No, we're getting that the wrong way around, aren't we?
Okay.
Mauro is Jules' grandfather.
Right.
Okay.
Lucien was Jules' great uncle.
Great uncle.
In which case, Mauro and Lucien were brothers.
Yes. You've worked that out very well, yes. Well done.
Mauro was also raced at Le Mans 6 times, it says here. I'm not doing this from memory.
I thought you had your Le Mans book out.
Well, I've got the Le Mans book online.
Have you really?
There's a bit of stolen software, which I haven't got, actually, because that would be against the law. But he also raced at Le Mans for the last time in 1968 in an Alpine A220, or an Alpine A220. His best result at Le Mans was 13th place. So that's the Bianchi family.
Yes,
so
thank you, Paul.
Certainly a...
Hello to Alex.
I knew you'd fill in the gap.
Hello to
me.
Alex Wirtz. And if you follow at Alex Wirtz, you'll be seeing our picture shortly, because he's just worked through behind us.
That's Twitter overloaded.
Yeah, Twitter completely overloaded. You can tell these guys haven't raced for a while in the WEC, can't you? Because they're looking really happy to go to a driver meeting. Which is, you know, normally you can't drag them out of bed to do that, even if it's at 11 o'clock. And, you know, here we are, 9:45, and they're whizzing in there as if it was first practice at Le Mans.
It does seem a long time since Le Mans, though, doesn't it?
It is a long time since Le Mans, Paul.
Quite so, nine weeks, I think it is, or I think this is now the 10th week since the 24 hours. And then it gets all a little bit helter-skelter, doesn't it, as far as the WEC is concerned.
Mm. Yes, very sort of, what would you say, bottom-heavy the season. There's plenty of rounds to come in, September, October, November sort of time. Real rush of rounds to finish the season off for 2012. So Bianchi it is who's fastest at the moment. There are 15 minutes to go in this session. So Jules Bianchi, car number 8, the black and red machine, tops the times, 141.946. Kevin Magnussen is second for Carlin Motorsport with a 142.389 time, and Robert Freins, championship leader, is currently third quickest, a 142.5. And then it's Marco Sorensen, fourth fastest, Will Stevens, fifth quickest, and sixth placed is Alberto Felix da Costa in car 26. And Felix da Costa is driving for Arden Caterham, so all livery. Alexander Rossi, the other car in that team, very easy to spot because they look like mini Formula One Red Bull cars.
And that will no doubt be down to Christian Horner's involvement. In fact, it's pretty much his team, I think. So I've yet to see any of these drivers that aren't in the championship, John. It was billed as an open test session, but I think pretty much everyone, all the 26 cars out there, are championship regulars, apart from the two guys that are new this weekend. But
there was a worry in my mind that we might get a few people who just jumped in to do what is effectively an open test.
Yes.
And therefore, either it wouldn't be the right names in the car, or we would not know who the people were. But I don't think that's the case. I think the team sensibly, although this is called a collective test and therefore is outside the normal tyre allocation and such of a race weekend, it appears that they have left their race drivers in and just using this as a bit of extra track time. There's a lot of rookies out there, isn't there? I mean, half of that 26, just looking at the timing and scoring, has an R next to the name. I haven't actually added them up, but it looks visually as if it's getting on for 50% of the field.
13.
Yeah,
spot
so
on.
It is. And it's conceivable that some of those people may not have raced on this configuration of the circuit, and certainly obviously haven't been here in this car. So it's not the daftest of ideas to get that extra hour in before. Effectively, this is prior to the meeting starting.
Right, okay. I hadn't really considered it. Yeah, thought about it that way, but I see what you mean now. So this is sort of a bolt-on, hour-long session for everyone in the championship. But as you say, even though the Formula Renault 3.5 cars were here last year with wins to Robert Wickens for both races, and of course he went on to win the championship for Carlin Motorsport, who also won a team's championship as well. But all of the drivers that went well here, well, three of them, Daniel Ricciardo, Yann Chiroux and Robert Wickens, have subsequently moved on. You asked about a quick time round here. I need to check that actually for the times last year, but 141.9 is the only time in the 141s at the moment. Jules Bianchi managing to break the 142 second barrier, and by 0.4 seconds over Jan's lad, Kevin Magnussen. There's five rookies in the top six, though. Robert Fryens, Marco Sorensen, Will Stevens and Alberto Felix da Costa, who just goes through there and improves his time. Sam Bird looking for a good weekend here at Silverstone for his home race, currently seventh, and Nick Yellerly behind as well. So three Brits in the top 10 at the moment.
You're listening to Radio Silverstone 87.7, driven this weekend by RadioLeMans.com.
Nissan, the power behind the FIA World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com. Nissan, we know sports cars.
Talk of Sam Bird there, it wasn't very long ago that I thought he might be making his career in sports car racing, but seems to have gone back to single seaters. Such a tough road now for all of these young drivers coming through, and these are career drivers. If you know, again, if you're listening further afield in the track, those of you here I'm sure are well aware of what goes on in 3.5 and onwards. It's almost like the old International 3000 series, although it doesn't chase F1, of course. But none of these guys are messing around at this stage. They are career drivers. And, you know, where do all these guys go? We've got 26 guys here, Johnny. And, you know, the churn in Formula 1, by which everything else is measured, you know, you're lucky if you get one new spot a year, and even that might be at the back of the grid team, and that's going to be checkbook racing, isn't it?
It's
not necessarily talent.
Well, you would hope so, yes.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. And that was what brought that to mind when I mentioned Sam Bird, Paul, that, you know, where do these guys go? It's the problem, it's the bottleneck, isn't it, that these young drivers face, and they all want to go and earn a living as racing drivers.
You're right, John, but I mean, there is a serious point here. A lot of these drivers are going out and getting money. They're not just earning money, but they're going out and getting money. They're doing their own sponsorship deals. They're bringing money along to the team, a lot of them.
Yes.
And that is a but also they're demonstrating that they're quick and therefore they're worthy of the money. Now that goes together with the need in sports car racing for drivers to bring along money. Now, one of the complaints that is leveled at sports car racing is that there are too many I would say non-professional, but there are maybe non-professional is the right way of putting it.
It's exactly the right place to put people who don't earn their living out of motorsport.
Earn their living out of motorsport. So, I mean, but they are gentlemen racing drivers. There are drivers doing this series that are not yet earning their money out of motorsport, or they're not making a huge amount of money. They're living a bit hand to mouth.
Hmm.
But they are in a position where if they would accept that they're not going to be the next Jenson Button or Lewis Hamilton, but they might well come along and be the next Alan McNish or Anthony Davidson. And it's a change of mindset that's required to get out of that kind of focus on single-seater, focus on Formula One, and a change of mindset that's going to take them into sports cars, where a lot of very quick racing drivers have finished up and are making a perfectly good career out of it.
Yeah, exactly true. And in some, well, there are far more opportunities in sports car racing. The mere fact that obviously 55 cars start Le Mans gives you, and there are three drivers per car, gives you an idea with how many cars in the F1 grid now? 24? And only one driver in each car, sadly. If you're a test driver, it would appear that you test out the radio equipment by standing in the back of the pits wearing a team t-shirt, and sometimes you might drive up and down Santa Pod or go on the simulator, and one or two or three who have a huge checkbook in the suitcase of talent get to drive out on a Friday morning and sweep the circuit for everyone else. So it's, you know, I'm being deliberately cynical over that, but
cynical about Formula One.
Shocker.
What?
That's as shocking as the sun printing those pictures this morning, isn't it? I really didn't expect.
No. But also, you know, if you are lucky enough to get to be one of those 24 drivers in Formula One, your time is limited if you're not going to be on the pace from the off. You don't give them much chance. You know, they're not very patient, these team bosses, quite understandably, because if they don't get the results, you're out the door straight away. And then, in inverted commas, on the kind of tumble back down again. But that's when you can pick up sports car racing. And of course, we all know that that's not tumbling down at all. That is finding a different discipline of motorsport, and arguably a far more interesting one. 6 minutes to go in this first session of the weekend, then a collective test session, although these are all of the drivers that we will see in qualifying one, race one tomorrow, and qualifying two, that's also tomorrow, I think, plus the second race of the Formula Renault 3.5 weekend, and that is early on Sunday morning. Bianchi still the man to beat, Jules Bianchi, with his one win so far this season, third in the championship, and his time in this session not been bettered by anybody yet, 141.946, and no one's got into the 141s, although Mikhail Aleshin, one of the Russian drivers, has come very close to it, 142.093, just gone through there in car 17. Mikhail Aleshin driving for team RFR, who are a Russian outfit, his teammate Anton Niblitsky in the black and orange cars. I tell you one guy who's come out of this from last year, and that's Nelson Panciatici.
Panciatici, yeah.
And he is now a sports car driver, is he not?
He is. Brendan Hartley.
Was he in this last year?
He was in it a couple of years ago, got the flick by Red Bull, and then came back with his own finance, and we've now co-opted him into the sports car paddock. Nice lad, actually.
Yeah.
It's all getting actually quite tight at the top now. Still no one other than Jules Bianchi has broken the 142s, but Michele Leschin's gone quicker, Nico Muller's gone quicker, Alberto Felix da Costa also getting into the top four for Arden Caterham. So Kevin Magnussen, who was the pace setter in the early stages of this session, now shunted down to fifth position. Will Stevens is sixth. Robert Fryan's championship leader, seventh. Marco Sorensen, one of the Lotus cars in the classic gold and black livery, just going through now in eighth place. Sam Bird is ninth. And Andre Negrau for International Draco Racing, the Brazilian with the Italian team, is currently 10th. With 3 minutes and 40 seconds still to run. What happens after this then, John?
It's a very good question. 15 minute break and then classic endurance racing. Now I think I don't think they're coming down to this pit either, although they'll do their pit stops down here, of course. They will do the Renaults will do their pit stops here, so, but they'll do the podium up there. So you will be able to nip down into the pit shortly and maybe start talking to some classic endurance drivers. If they well, they'll be coming down now, I would have thought, or at least what is it, 3 minutes left to go. Paul Truswell is out at Beckett's in sunshine, I would think, at Beckett's at the moment. Paul, are you?
Yes, in sunshine and short sleeves, because I've got all the windows closed, because even though you're getting ambient noise, if I have the windows open, then you get lots of ambient noise and I can't hear myself think. So no, it's the clouds have been progressively lifting, breaking up since you said it was overcast, which at the time that you said it was completely grey. But it's a pleasant late summer's morning, when, you know, if you weren't doing other things, you'd be saying, should we get the barbecue out and have a barbecue for lunch? The little picnic table is looking very tempting, I have to say, as an old shaped Mini comes down the service road.
A proper Mini, you mean?
A proper Mini. Why Reg? Goodness me. With little wheel extensions on it. Might be a clubman, actually. But no, as far as the Formula Renaults are concerned, they're still going very rapidly. Just looking at their times, you were asking about good lap times, and these, I suspect, would be comparable lap times to what we're going to be seeing from the LMP1s when they get out. Just looking back at last year's times, and the circuit the same as it was last year, to my best knowledge and belief, and I suspect that these cars are lapping as rapidly, if not a little bit quicker, than we're going to see from the LMP1s, subject to the LMP1s having improved since last year.
New car at the top of the times with just over a minute to go is Alberto Felix da Costa, the Portuguese driver for Arden Caterham, and he set a 141.841, so Jules Bianchi still there on 946, 41.946, which puts him down a second place. But the 26 car, teammate to Alexander Rossi in car 25, is now the fastest of them all, and it looks like, although this session doesn't really count to anything at all and it's a standalone hour-long session to kick the weekend off, Antonio Felix da Costa is throwing down a marker there to everyone else, and that's certainly giving us a reflection of how quickly you can go around this track in pretty much ideal conditions. So 15 seconds still to go, and the cars that have started a flying lap, of course, will be permitted to finish this one, but the checker flag is being readied in front of us now. 3, 2, 1, and the checker flag is displayed, so anybody else coming through, that will be the end of session. And Antonio Felix da Costa has started a quick lap, coming through to end his session though, Michele Leschin, who has gone well, fourth fastest at the moment. Kevin Magnussen rather, Jan's son comes through. That's the first time I'm going to make a common mistake for the weekend, I would imagine.
I'll race you to it.
I'm surprised it wasn't May first, in fairness.
So Kevin's going to be one to watch, I think, for Carlin this weekend. Carlin got both wins last year with Robert Wickin, so they'll have some useful data that they brought with them to, I was going to say Northamptonshire, but this, we are in Buckinghamshire now, aren't we, from our current location, I think.
Yes, you're in Buckinghamshire. I'm just in Northants.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a vagary of the circuit here. It's a common theme on British circuits, actually. Donington straddles three counties, doesn't it? As it
certainly
stands.
Leicestershire and Derbyshire, and possibly a bit of Nottinghamshire as well.
Nottinghamshire, Leicestershire and Derbyshire, yeah.
I don't think the track does, though. I think it's only the estate which
yes,
does.
Yes, you may be right. I know that if, speaking to Tom Wheatcroft many years ago, God rest his soul, did an interview with him, and one of the reasons he cited for not restoring the long loop on the Melbourne side of it was because he would have had to have spoken to another county council.
Right, okay. And well, that would be Leicestershire.
Yeah. No, other side. So it was... That was one of the things. And he'd already had to speak to two to get it reopened in the first place. And I think he was getting a bit bored of red tape at that point. And anyone who knew anything about Tom Wheatcroft will know he was not one to suffer red tape at all. Never mind lightly. Yes, it's fine in Buckinghamshire, Mr. Trustwell. I just... like to say that at the moment.
Jolly good.
We have a smattering of spectators as well down at the right opposite the start finish line. One or two people I can see with lap sheets out and got their programmes out as well, who are clearly timing across the line, doing some of their own timing.
Tenner to get in today, I think. I would have thought about that. I mean, yeah. I'm in the lucky position where I don't have to pay, but
35 quid for the whole weekend. That's yeah. not bad.
Yeah, no, very good. Mm. Very good.
And the grandstands, as far as I know, are open today, or at least some of them are.
Would seem to be, from what I'm seeing here, Paul, yes.
And as I said, not going to guarantee that all of them are, because I know that sometimes they like to close them off just because they like to have stewards on duty just in case. Mm. But it is an ideal opportunity to get all around the circuit and see some of the different vantage points on the new Silverstone Grand Prix circuit.
So there we are then, Johnny, if you do a quick rundown of, let's say, the top 10, I think, of the times before we move on. That was the what has been termed the collective test, which would mean something very different in midweek motorsport terminology. But Johnny Palmer has the times from that one-hour session for the Formula, the Renault Formula 3.5.
Very late on, Antonio Felix da Costa went quickest in car 26 with a 141.841 second lap. And he managed to jump in front of Jules Bianchi, who had been leading sort of the last 15-20 minutes of the session prior to that in car number 8. So for Tech One Racing, the current championship leaders in the teams. So car 26 and car 8 are first and second quickest respectively. Third fastest was car 21, Nico Müller, another of the rookie drivers, a 1 minute 42.089 second lap for him. Michaela Leshin, the Russian driver in car 17, was fourth fastest, a 142.093. And championship leader at the moment, Robert Freins for Fortet Motorsport, car 4, was fifth fastest with a time of 1 minute 42.122 seconds. Kevin Magnussen in car number 1 for Carlin again, 6th quickest, 142.219. Marco Sorensen, 7th fastest in car 12 in the Lotus colours for the Czech Republic team, a 142.336. Will Stevens in car number 2 was 8th fastest, 142.488. Those four cars, Freins, Magnussen, Sorensen and Stevens, all rookie drivers. 9th fastest for Sam Bird in car 5, 142.919 his time. And in 10th position, car 22 for International Drakkar Racing, Andre Negrão, the Brazilian, and his time was 142.948.
That's the rundown from Johnny Palmer. You're listening to 87.7 FM. This is Radio Silverstone, powered this weekend by RadioLeMans.com.
Nissan, the power behind the FIA World Endurance Championship on RadioLeMans.com. Nissan, we know sports cars. Midweek Motorsport, Wednesday at 8 p.m. News and discussion, comment and debate, and sometimes speculation and argument. Join in with the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective at RadioLeMans.com as the team talk through a broad range of topics from throughout motorsport. F1, rallying, NASCAR, bikes, touring cars, sports cars. If it has wheels and they keep score, it's on. Midweek Motorsport, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. RadioLeMans.com.